This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. Well, guys, one of my brothers, and I am not Baptist, so I don't use that word about all the people that are Christians. I only use this word for a very small handful of people. But he is my brother. Matt Chandler is in the house with us today. Matt, I'm so excited.
Listen, I wish I actually was in the house with you. I mean, it would only been a 45-minute drive.
Virtual house.
But it would have been cool to be.
We were hanging out last night. We should have brought the equipment.
Man, they can't handle. They're not ready for that.
And Matt and I met for dinner at a little lovely restaurant halfway between our houses, which is hard to find a lovely restaurant halfway between our houses because it's kind of just concrete jungle. But
and there might be seven or eight Chick-fil-A's between there and mine, but not the kind of food that we like to eat.
Right. It was actually awesome. We had a great night. So we'll just carry on our conversation. But today I'm excited to get to talk about your book because I am your inspiration. You wrote this book for me, didn't you?
Well, certainly.
Because of me.
I mean, you know, I'll tell everybody, Jenny Allen has a wonderful plan for my life. So she's like, the story of my life is long before I could see what God was doing.
It's true.
Jenny Allen's told me.
If only people would listen to me all the time.
The world, here's what's wild. The world probably would be a much better place.
Right.
Just
right.
What would Jenny do?
You all eventually listen to me. It just takes a little time.
It does.
So you were actually working on a different book, I think, and you were teaching your series on Revelation, and I was watching it, and I called you. I was like, this is your book. You've got to write this book.
Yep.
Thank you for writing this book for me.
Well, I did put you in the acknowledgments. If I didn't, it was an oversight and I'll write it in.
Matt, I deserve it to be in the acknowledgments.
For sure.
But yeah, because it really is, it's life-changing. It really is life-changing. And it is far and away my favorite book you've ever written. I think it is going to, well, there's a few reasons I love it so much. One is it is you. You are this. You have been this. Zach and I talked last night about watching you from Austin before we were friends, and you were bald, and you were, my husband says it this way, you were discipling the world in how to suffer.
Yeah.
And it's true. And so this has been a theme of your life. And then two, you are also my hype guy. Like when you're talking to me, I feel like, what am I afraid of? What are we can do anything. Like God is for us and with us. And when you preach, I feel that way. And when you're talking to me over dinner, I feel that way. And so that's why I think this book is such a life message for you. Then I'll add one more thing, which is not everybody should tackle the book of Revelation. I'm just saying, well done. Cause that is not an easy task.
I loved it.
So let's start with why besides me, did you want to write this book? I mean, the sermon series was blowing up. You knew it was hitting a nerve.
Yeah, I certainly knew it was resonating, but I think I've got this angst inside of me for this moment that we find ourselves in and the corresponding anxiety and fear that's revolving around it. And so I wanted to go in the way that God built me to go in that kind of edifying, encouraged, slightly prophetic kind of way that, guys, this is our moment. Mm. Like nobody's coming to bail us out of this. Like we're God's big plan for right now.
Yeah.
So C.S. Lewis isn't coming.
Yeah.
G.K. Chesterton isn't coming. Like it's us. And God's really excited about that. He's not wringing his hands going, oh no, what am I going to do with Western civilization?
Right.
He's woven his people in neighborhoods and workplaces and places of play. And if everyday normal Christians, I'm not talking about blue check charismatic personalities. I'm talking about dentists and stay-at-home moms and entrepreneurs and trash guys and welders and carpenters and construction managers. If we would wake up to this moment we're in and own it, then I get real geeked out about what we might see in our day. And so I wanted to encourage the village first and foremost that this is our big moment. We were made for this day, and this day was made for us, and that we've been uniquely wired, uniquely placed, and uniquely gifted for it. Like Lewis might not be able to interact in this moment. We can, because we're right. living it, we're breathing it, we're yeah. in, I mean, we understand its language, we see its values, and yet we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And man, I just make a strong argument in the book that you've been uniquely wired and uniquely placed and uniquely gifted for this very moment. And then as all of that was stirring up in me, it occurred to me, well, it didn't occur to me. I was reading some other things, and the book of Revelation has actually served this purpose for 2,000 years. It's only been in the last 150 that some of the jankier, newer theology around it has made it scary and something that people avoid. I mean, it's for 2,000 years put steel into the spine of believers, regardless of the weather. And so it seemed like a natural fit for me
yeah.
to take this message of, guys, let's do this, that like it's yeah. in front of us. We don't have to be afraid. Christ has already won. And because I feel most comfortable tethered in the Bible to do that with the book of Revelation. And so that, and then of course, with your encouragement, here we are, the overcomers.
Here we are.
God's vision. Do you see the little play? It's God's vision of thriving, because that's what Revelation is, God's vision.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to put Revelation in the title or subtitle, because I know Revelation could wig people out. I'm not Revelation enough for the people that are making scrolls right. in their garage. And the average person thinks it's a book that's too difficult to understand.
You make it so relatable. And good. You bring it into the day-to-day. And that's what I love. And so this message of overcoming, this has been the theme of your podcast. This has been a theme for you in your life, as I've already mentioned. Why is it so important? Why do you think it matters so much right now?
I think the life that Jesus promises his followers, that life, real life, abundant life in John 10, that ever-increasing life is packaged in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. And so Christ, as our original overcomer and the strength through which all overcoming occurs, is the picture and example. And whether it's been trying to understand the deconstruction movement, walking with the church full of millennials, seeing the new zeal in Gen Z, I thought we need to have a real honest conversation about the difficulty of life on this fallen earth with the overcoming power of Jesus indwelling inside of us. And really, that's what's going to be necessary if we're going to thrive in this moment. Like, I think there has to be an understanding that people are made in the image of God, like all of us, because if I'm battling not against flesh and blood, then I need to make sure I see even those people who might have their allegiance in a different place than mine, they're still men and women made in the image of God. I need to, and here's where my heart just, these next two points, I feel like I've said these things a gazillion times the last 30 years. To understand our primary identity as children of God, before I'm a pastor or a preacher or Lauren's husband or my kid's daddy or your friend or whatever, before I'm on bank account, my house, my car, like I am a son of God on high, and that can't be taken from me. So anything I just listed could vanish in a second, but you can't touch that. And that should fill me with confidence. Like, do you know who my dad is? Yeah. Like, you know, I belong to. And then the last piece I would say is this idea of our uniqueness. Like, there's never been anyone like you before, and there'll never be anyone like you again. And God is all in that, grabbing our backstory, weaving it into something victorious and beautiful, and then unleashing us on the principalities and powers of this world to push back darkness. And that's such a better biblical picture of Christianity rather than the one of moral improvement and navel gazing.
You say in the book, is there a core belief in your heart and mind that the God of the universe is still on the throne looking out for you, and his way is perfect and unfailing? That's the Spirit testifying that you are his. That was a huge part of the book that I did not see coming in the beginning, was that identity piece, that I knew you were writing about Revelation and overcoming. But you really started with, like, this is who and whose you are. And if you believe that, it gives you what changes how connect those two?
Well, if that's not true, then it all lands on you. Mm. If those things that we just talked about aren't true, then now it's how gifted am I? How wealthy right. am I? How talented am I? How attractive am I? How competent am I? And my favorite thing about our faith is that the gospel hasn't spread globally because of dynamic, charismatic preaching. That's not the way it's spread. It's spread everyday faithfulness in neighborhoods, workplaces, places you play, places you hobby, divine encounters. And the thing I'm trying to wake people up to is that the kingdom doesn't belong to blue check, charismatic, famous people. We're not going to see revival that way. We're not going to see a more beautiful, visible coming of the kingdom that way. It takes everyday men and women stepping into the life that God made for them. And so I use this phrase in the book over, you were made for the day and the day was made for you. That is deeply biblical. That's biblical in Psalm 139, Acts 17. The whole testimony of the scriptures is that we've been uniquely wired and uniquely placed for the purposes of God. And I think some Christians are bored because their whole life is about steady moral improvement. And that's the least sexy version of Christianity I've ever heard. And it's certainly not what Jesus came and died for.
And that's where Revelation comes in, right? Because it goes, okay, it starts with your identity. It starts with a relationship. It starts with who and whose you are. And then it moves to a mission. Like there's a sense of like drum that's beating and that you talk about. And that's what I felt when I was listening to the series and when I was reading the book is I don't want to miss this. Like this is going to happen. And regardless of your apathy, it will happen. And so how do we be part of it? And I think that's the wake up call of this book is we don't want to miss the story of God that God's unfolding right before us.
Yeah. And I don't want you to believe the lie that you're somehow, you don't know enough or you're not gifted enough or your life is too insignificant to be a major player in this big story.
And it is that's a problem.
Well, that's what the enemy's taken from you.
Yes.
I can't believe it's been almost 4 years since we launched Jenny's kids' books called The Story of God out into the world. And with how many other things she has going on, podcasting and books and things like that, an online store was the furthest thing from our mind. But now we're selling Story of God on Shopify and it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. So from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the how many orders did we just hit? Shopify is there to help you grow. No matter if you're selling books, t-shirts, digital products, anything, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. When you're a creative and you just want to get your art, whatever you make, out into the world, Shopify is the platform for you because it's so simple and easy and your whole team can use it. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeforthis, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/madeforthis now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/madeforthis.
You pastor a church and you have seen people overcome unbelievable things. I loved listening to your podcast and some of their stories. They suffered, like people around you, not just you and Lauren, but people around you have suffered. What puts people in the game? Like, why do we check out? Why are we not all living aware of all of this every day?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of big games that the enemy is really, really, really good at. The first one is accusation, right? He's called the accuser of the brethren. Specifically in Revelation 12, he's the accuser of the brethren. And so if you could think about it, as this, and I know you've written on some of this kind of internal dialogue that you have with yourself. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that internal dialogue is the enemy taking you out of the game or whispering lies to you to take you out of the game. And so experientially as a pastor, that could be all over the place. He loves to get in early. And so like I tell this story in the book, there was something really horrific that occurred in my family of origin when I was a kid. And there was some court-ordered counseling that occurred. And the whole family had to go. Nobody except a couple of people knew the horrific thing. It was a smaller segment of my family of origin. The group of us didn't know, just three of us did, three of the five. And so as a little boy, I mean, this is little Matt, this is like 5-6-year-old Matt, I'm in counseling, but already when I'm a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, I'm loud. I've got tireless energy. I'm always getting in trouble. My teachers and parents were on first name basis by the end of the year, every year. Mm-hmm. And so in my little heart, I thought I had taken my whole family into counseling. Oh. That because I was so much and I was causing so much problems, that my whole family needed therapy. And that's kind of the wickedness of the enemy who, like little 5-6-year-old, didn't have anything to do with me.
Little buddy.
Like I was nowhere in view. But poor little Matt, he's like, see, you mess things up. And so like from the earliest parts of my life, this little lie started to develop that I'll ruin things. And of course it grows into you're hard to love. Maybe you're even unlovable. And and this starts to, like, it's not prefrontal cortex stuff, right? It's not, like deep in, I don't know. Like this is, I am describing some deep years in therapy, even be able to talk about this, where I have this insatiable need to not fail, to be included and approved of, and they're absolutely taking me out of my God-given destiny. And this is happening all over the place to people. And if it's not something like that, it could be the lie of disqualification, right? That they either have done something, they've participated in something, or they're currently caught in something that means God can't and won't use them. And this lie always, it actually frustrates me because like I'll oftentimes say, hardly anyone in the Bible would get hired at the Village Church. I mean, they just, their background check would flare. You know, Moses murders a guy with his hands and then he's still freaking out and having explosive rage decades later. I mean, this is a man with a rage problem. He's not going to make it through HR. King David, my wife is way too pretty for King David to be anywhere around my world, right? You, like, this is what God pulls from the fringes, those who are going to be his brightest lights. And so this lie that this current struggle I have, now I think you should deal with that struggle. I think you should be in accountability. I think you should get help for that struggle. But it doesn't disqualify the power of God moving through you in order to serve, encourage, save, and help someone around you. And so I think accusation is the biggest one. But the other game that the enemy plays with us that takes us out of the game is comparison. My oldest got caught in some girl drama when she was in high school, and a girl had called her the Walmart version of this other girl, right? And of course, it's supposed to be a slam. Right. It's supposed to be a slam, you know, apparently this girl's more of a Target girl, but,
oh my gosh.
But the slam is actually true if Audrey is trying to be this other girl, because she could never be this other girl. She would just be a cheap version of that girl. And yet this happens to Christians all the time. I mean, even the fact that I'm having to say on repeat that it doesn't belong to blue check, charismatic, famous Christians is the reality that we have in our heads when we see up. This is so how the enemy is so quick, such a loser. The second you notice someone in your circle being used profoundly by God, you almost always will begin to compare your weaknesses to the strength that you're seeing. And this totally takes us out of the game. You're looking at how God's wired them, how he's placed them, the mission he has for them. And you're unaware of your own mission, unaware of your own strengths. And so you feel paralyzed because you see their strengths versus your weaknesses, because you haven't done the good, hard work of cultivating that identity in Christ, right, and walking with people who can say, I see this in you. You should do this. You should go for this. And you do this better than I think maybe any other human being I know, not just with me, but just with everybody. You see the God-besotted giftedness of people, Jenny Allen. It's a beautiful gift. For all your other gifts, that's the one I want more of in my own life. Mm-hmm. But those are the two primary ways the enemy takes people out of the game: accusation and comparison.
You know, my mind's going somewhere and I'm just going to follow it.
You should.
And maybe this is a conversation we should be having offline, but I always think those, when I feel that way, it's actually helpful to everybody. We're part of it. Like, we're part of it. And part of me wonders, are we feeding it? And how do we not do that other than just keep talking about it? But I hate this. You're right. Like, I am amening everything you're saying. The way the world changes is all of us doing our parts. But somewhere there has been, and I guess it was true even back when the authors were writing the Bible, because they were saying we despise different parts of the body and look up to others. So I guess that's always been there, but
even if you think of Paul having to write, some of you guys are saying, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos. Others are saying, you're with me. Listen, that's not the way this works.
But if don't play our parts, then we're not being obedient too.
That's right.
But that
so that's why I want to use this kind of blue check reality to say, no. My job is to encourage you to get in the game. My whole ministry is edifying, encourage, rebuking, saying, run, please run where you are.
Let it be.
People have 1,000 reasons not to listen to me for any cynic or jaded person. Oh, he gets paid to say that, or he's just saying that because it's, it's about power or money. They can't say that about you as their neighbor. They can't say that as the woman who does Pilates with them and invites them out to lunch afterwards to check on their lives. They can't say that about the guy that's just prayer walking a street and praying blessings over homes without knowing any detail about what's going on in those homes.
Okay.
They can't say that about that. And so there are times I feel like, even in my own evangelistic efforts, I can feel behind the eight ball because people, as soon as they know I'm a pastor, like, of course you're saying this. But especially in an environment where there tends to be skepticism and a bit of jaded kind of posturing. But if you're listening to this right now, you're so free of that. Like, you just get to be their neighbor, their friend, their coworker, guy that does jiu-jitsu with them, the woman that does Pilates with them, the coffee date where you're trying to figure out parenting together. This is such a beautiful opportunity for you to get into the game in ways that I'm not going to get, and more than likely Jenny's not going to get.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying. And I think that's what I hope everybody hears, is this is an invitation to get in the game, and you want to be in the game because the game's really fun right now.
Oh my gosh.
I think the game's kind of, killer right now. Like, we're seeing things happen
all over the place.
And we need you. We all need you in the game doing the thing that God called you to do. Let's talk about Revelation a little, just because I love it so much. Give us the summary, sum up what your takeaway is of that book.
Yeah. So Revelation is three things. It's a letter to a specific group of churches, right? You can see all of this in the first five verses. It was written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. So that means it's a letter. It's like Philippians. It's like Colossians. It was written to a specific people at a specific time in a specific place. That matters because the predominant, well, I don't think it's the predominant anymore. When I was growing up, the predominant view was that the book of Revelation belonged to that last generation before Jesus returned. And then they start to use the newspaper to interpret Revelation rather than letting the Bible interpret the Bible. Did you know that there are 500 direct references or allusions to the Old Testament in Revelation? Eugene Peterson said there's nothing in Revelation that hadn't already been said somewhere in the Bible. So it's a letter. The second thing is it's a prophecy, and not so much this is the future, but a thus saith the Lord. Again, in the first chapter, John, or the Holy Spirit, Jesus to John, to us, is saying, he who does the things written in this book. So it's a thus saith the Lord kind of prophecy. And then the last one's the one that gets everybody wigged out. It's an apocalypse. And apocalyptic literature in the Bible is weird. It's filled with imagery. And that's because apocalyptic literature is wanting us to feel something down in our guts, mm-hmm. not just think it, but actually kind of get right. past that thinking into the, oh yeah, that sounds awful, in a way that we feel it. And right. that's going to happen a ton through the book of Revelation. But the word apocalypse means unveiling, to pull back the curtain. And here's why I love the book of Revelation. The book, when you pull back the curtain on the book of Revelation, what you see on three different occasions is ultimate reality right now, not in the future, but right now. And that ultimate reality is Christ, the Lion and Lamb, on the throne of the universe, at the center of ultimate reality, with everything pulsing towards him in radiant light and beauty. And so the picture that Revelation is trying to embed in our imaginations is the victory of Christ over all things made available to the believer now.
Yes.
And then pull us forward with future hope. And pull us forward with future hope.
It's so good.
Yeah, you can't read, if you read Revelation and you're like, oh, I bet the locust here are the Apache helicopter. I love you. It's a terrible way to read the Bible. And not only that,
right?
It would only be true.
Because you don't know. Nobody knows, y'all.
No, and then you're just going to look like a fool over and over and over and over again.
Don't know what they're talking about.
No.
I have so many people that send me things. What do you think about this? What do you think about this?
Oh, me too.
I think
the eclipse. We even got a call. My office got a call yesterday going, hey, do you want to say something on TV about the eclipse? I was like, no, I want to enjoy the eclipse.
The moon is passing in front of the sun.
Yeah. I could talk about really the beauty of God's design.
Right. And could it be that Jesus does come back during an eclipse and something meant something?
Most amazing.
Of those kind of details you understand after the fact. And to guess out at them has not really gone well in general for the church. Like it just,
let's
take the vast sum of guessing games that have been played and they don't work.
And it betrays our kind of Americanism also. I mean, that's been happening every 18 months somewhere in the world.
Right.
You know, since God created the universe, but it was just this one that was in America that, because of course we're the key to the return of Christ. Right. Anyway, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I keep going about that.
We are so excited to tell you guys about the Untangle Your Emotions Faith Gateway online Bible study. The best part is that you can join the online Bible study for free and get exclusive content from Jenny, 6 study videos, and other Bible study resources, all free when you sign up. We are going to spend 6 weeks really examining what does the Bible tell us about our emotions. Untangle Your Emotions Bible study is the perfect summer study, so you can invite a friend and do it together. With your free access, you get 6 Bible study videos with Jenny, Jenny's prayers to pray when you feel feelings, all different kinds of bonuses, and a feelings wheel download. Plus, get session 1 of the Bible study guide so you can get started right away, and OBS participants also get exclusive access to bonus events with Jenny. So go right now, register online. It's completely free to sign up and join the community. You get all those free bonuses, including the free videos that we'll release each week and week 1 of the study guide. So you can start right away on June 10th. We will put the link to join in the show notes. You can also go to faithgateway.com.
Let's talk about the outcome that you see, because there's a real reason that this book, it matters to you. You want to see the church take its place in the story that's being built. What is your hope? What do you want to happen?
Yeah. Everywhere I look right now, not everywhere, in a lot of places, the people of God seem paralyzed to me, mm-hmm. and they're not sure what to do. And I think we're not going to have time for me to unpack all of this. But I think there's a false gospel of empathy and compassion that is not biblical. Now, empathy and compassion are biblical, but we're using the world's terms and then feeling paralyzed and therefore losing our prophetic witness, either by acquiescing or by remaining silent. And neither of those would be considered loving biblically. And so what I think my whole heart, like if someone is what I'm talking about, they just feel paralyzed. They know Jesus. They've got a probably a tepid relationship with him. Certainly in their Instagram bio, there's like a Philippians 1:21 or a Jeremiah 29:11. They go to church, but they haven't really experienced the glory of God's invitation to partner with him in pushing back darkness and establishing light. I hope this book puts a hunger and longing in them to surrender all the more to, and receive all the more of the victory of Christ in their lives and through their lives to the people that God has placed around them.
I love that. I want to end with this. Your view of the Holy Spirit has grown, as all of ours should be. I would love to just to hear, because certainly the Holy Spirit has a huge role in this story.
Absolutely.
And you talk about that in the book. Where's that come from for you? And what would you say to someone that might feel like that's scary to them, or the idea of accessing the power of the Holy Spirit feels intimidating?
Yeah. So I think what you can do, and I think this is always true about theology, is you want to take baby steps in the right direction. And so rather than just going, okay, let's have the continuationist versus cessationist conversation, I think the better, easier conversation is, where does the power for Christian living come from? Where does the illuminating work of the scriptures come from? Where does the strength to fight against indwelling sin come from? Well, no one's going to argue the answer to that. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so to not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but to open up your Bible in the morning, I'm guessing how you're already doing. Mm. And instead of just reading it, invite the Holy Spirit to show you in the scriptures what's there. I mean, according to the Bible, the Spirit is the one that illuminates the scriptures. And so this isn't even a controversy. I don't even know that it'll get weird. Well, it could get weird. I was reading in Leviticus one morning, and then the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it did. Well, here's what's wild about it. It was just a throwaway sentence about how Israel was supposed to leave the edges of their field so that foreigners and the aliens and strangers could glean, and that God would provide for them that way. Mm-hmm. And man, if the Spirit didn't jump off the page with that passage, one, to let me see the tenderness of God towards those who haven't been blessed as much as I have, and the responsibility I have to steward that blessing in such a way that I live and that people can see, oh, he believes that there's something greater than himself and something greater than this life. Now, might have that happened just with my intellect and studying the passage? Maybe. But what I got in that moment was a conviction, sense of connection to God, loved by God, corrected by God gently. And I just put wind in my sails. And so I think if someone's inviting the Holy Spirit to help them when they're reading their Bible, when before they go to church, ask the Holy Spirit to minister to them deeply as they bring their, you know, offerings of praise or their brokenness to God in worship, then all of a sudden what you're experiencing on Sunday morning begins to change. And these are, I think, the initial steps. And then we can get to all the other stuff down the road. But you can't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's God.
Yeah.
He's God. Right. He's the experience and expression of Jesus Christ in you, and the power of Christ moving through you. So we better not be afraid of that. We better embrace that and talk to him. You could talk to him and ask him. And so those would be some of the kind of, I think if you're just starting out and the Holy Ghost seems weird to you, then maybe let's stop watching Benny Hinn and just ask the Holy Spirit to let us understand the scriptures.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I am grateful for you. I am grateful for your fire and how you are calling all of us to not be victims, to go and live out the power and the calling of our lives because of the gospel. So grateful, Matt.
Oh, grateful for you.
Everybody,
so glad we're friends.
Go get this book. This book is so real. It is so simple. It is so you. Like, I just felt like you were just talking to me and like telling me it's what you're going to do, Jenny. So it's awesome.
You know, it's funny.
I'm so grateful.
I think you would appreciate this, and I know you have to go. To write, this is the first time I ever wrote a book where I had a card on the bottom of my monitor that just said, like you're having a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, that's what you did.
So I had to keep going back to it because that's not the way I normally write. So I did try to write this
different.
One.
It felt different. It's why it's my favorite book you've written. Okay. I loved it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You guys, I have a special request to make. Okay. You know, on your podcast app where you can leave ratings and reviews on the podcast that you listen to? Well, it is honestly like one of Jenny and I's favorite things. It's one of those ways that we get to know you just a little bit by your reviews and your ratings. And it helps other people find out about the show. So would you go today? And if you've been listening for a while and you're enjoying the show, can you go leave a rating and review? We would so appreciate it. And we're always grateful that you're here. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Made for This podcast.